two doors or just one door? Those are the options. Whether 'tis better for thou to have entry and egress, or make room for cabinetry and counter. A perplexation for the ages. Thou hast better call Paul.
Hi, Allie, can you hear me?
Yes, Paul, I sure can.
So I'm looking at the floor plan of your house, and I see the pantry area that they had, and I guess the door to the pantry now is going to be across from the powder room door, maybe in the middle or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, there's nothing definitely wrong with the design or bad about the design. There's things that I would change.
Okay.
You know, the one thing I guess is that if you want to have that color, the color we were talking about was a Benjamin Moore color. What color did you say it was again?
Swiss coffee.
So I'm thinking that that's something like a chocolate kind of color, right?
No, it's actually, it isn't, even though that's the name of it. It's a neutral off-white.
Oh, it's a neutral off-white. When we were talking too, if you have the neutral off-white, you have a coffered ceiling in your living room, and you're going to have all this molding around the coffered ceiling, right? So you were planning on that being white probably, weren't you? All the molding around the coffered ceiling?
Yes.
So I just think it would be funny looking to have the molding over the top of your cabinets be white, and then your cabinets suddenly turn cream, you know, after the molding covers.
Okay.
So you sort of, that's okay. The first question I think that you have to decide, you have to resolve. You have to decide,
okay,
how am I going to make the transition between this molding that you want to go around the room and everything and the cabinetry? Because it just looks so much nicer if the color of the molding on top of the cabinetry is the same color as the cabinetry. So there's different things you can do.
Okay.
Sometimes what we do is we put, it's like a block of wood, a square block of wood, the color of the cabinetry, that the molding for the cabinetry, when it comes around the last cabinet or comes around, you know, by your refrigerator or by your pantry, the molding dyes into that block of wood. And then when the molding from the room comes around the room, then it comes right around and then it dyes into that same block of wood, so that you can transition from, you know, the one kind of molding to the other kind of molding. And that's
okay.
One way to do it, right? The other way to do
right.
it, because this is all things that I think you really have to do if you want it to look right, if you're going to take your cabinets to the ceiling. So if you weren't going to take your cabinets to the ceiling, well, then you could have no problem at all. You could run this molding around the whole kitchen, and then just, you know, a foot below, you'd have the molding for the cabinetry in the kitchen, and you'd have no problem at all. It's just that then it would be open on top of your cabinet.
Right.
From what you've said, I take it you definitely don't want that.
No, I'm not doing that.
Right. People want everything built in. So you really have a couple of choices. So one way is the first thing we talked about before you called in earlier today. Talked about, what if we just painted all the moldings the same color as the kitchen cabinets? But now this molding, I guess, would be going all, if you really wanted it to go around the whole room, you wanted to continue it in the dining area. You wanted to continue the molding around the kitchen and around the hallways and everything.
Yes, correct.
So, I mean, I don't know that if you're doing all of that, if you want it to be cream color. But that's really your choice. Either you do the one thing I said, there's three choices, I think. One is you do the cream color for all the molding, and that you can do white in your coffered ceiling area, because that's a whole area on its own. And then you would have to change everywhere connected to the kitchen to the cream color so that it all matched your cabinetry. That's one way.
Right.
The other way is to have the block, which is much easier. I can send you a picture of that right on your thing.
Oh, that'd be great, because I'm not able to visualize it. That'd be great.
I hope I can find it. One of our contractors does that.
Okay.
So I'll send you the picture of the block. And then the
third
way to do it would be, you know, it's so funny that they lowered the ceiling down in the living room area with this whole coffered ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the cabinet height at 10 feet is so tall, life would be a lot easier if you did the same thing in the kitchen, and it wouldn't be that hard to do, because I didn't realize they were doing it already in your dining area. So what you would have to do that is, you know, you have a coffered ceiling in your living room. A coffered ceiling is a tray ceiling that has, you know, just crisscrossing members in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you could just extend from that corner post that you have between your dining area and your living area. You could extend another, you know, they call it a bulkhead on your plans. We call it a soffit, but you could just extend that soffit straight across the room, and it would run into the pantry or run into the wall, essentially right on. It runs into perfectly into the wall on the side of the pantry cabinet. And so you would just continue that same soffit, and then you just frame out the room. You know, maybe I'd go 27 inches deep or 28 inches deep around the whole square, and then make that whole, you know, that whole middle of the room would go up to 10 feet, but the perimeter of the room would just be down to maybe the same height as your coffered ceiling, which says it's a foot, I think, if I read it right. So you come down a foot,
right.
You won't even, you know, you don't even have to, you can come down a different height if you wanted to, but say you came down a foot,
right.
That'd probably save you some money. So you come down a foot,
right.
And then you frame out the whole inside of the tray ceiling that you now have, do the whole inside frame with your white molding. So then you have the whole inside tray of your kitchen. It has the white molding going around it, and then all your cabinet molding just goes up to the bottom of the tray. And you're building a lot of... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I want to make sure I understand. And I don't think it's too late to do that. The framers were there this week doing a little bit. I mean, it might be less expense now. I mean, an added expense now, but might save money on the cabinet. I think it's doable.
So what you're saying is
to tray the kitchen or tray the kitchen and the dining room?
Well, the dining room, yeah, the kitchen and the dining room area, you do the tray ceiling in the kitchen and the dining room area, and then it will make the whole kitchen a little bit more interesting, I think. You know, the middle of the room will go up, it will all be recessed up, you'd have the tray going around, and then your cabinetry wouldn't be so overwhelming, it wouldn't be going up, you know, the cabinetry then would be going up to 9 feet instead of 8 feet, and that's a very common height. Then your cabinets would be sort of standard sizes. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could make this tray, doesn't have to be 12 inches. It could be a different height, could be 9 inches. But since the other tray that you have in the coffered ceiling room is 12, maybe you want to make it all the same.
Right.
So I can hand draw that in with dotted lines, what the tray would look like. And now you're down to 9 feet, and that's a very common height. And then it's very common ways to do the cabinetry. There's no reason to be in custom cabinetry. And then if you have sort of a cream color, there'll be lots of cabinet brands that will have cream colors that you might like a lot. And that's a popular color.
Okay.
You might not have to be in a custom cabinet brand.
Okay.
If I had to guess, like building that tray, it's all just framing and drywall. So it's not crazy expensive.
Right. And, I'm with you.
You know, I mean, you have to decide, but if you do go up to the ceiling, then it's just that you have that molding thing that you have to decide on. This way, there's no molding problems at all. And everything is sort of connected, right? You have the whole same molding that you have in your coffered ceiling in your living room is now going around the whole tray in your kitchen. And then all the cabinetry has its own molding around it that's just dying into the wall. So it really looks like it was all connected and well thought out.
If
that doesn't freak you out and the numbers aren't prohibitive, you know, that's, I think, how I would do it. You know, and then there's other tweaks I would do with the design. The design is a good one, but the doors in the kitchen, when you're at your cooktop, the two doors on the left and on the right, what room are they going into?
They go to a outside screened-in porch. They both go to the same area.
Oh, they both go to the screened-in porch. So
Yes.
I think if it was me, I
Yeah.
would, if it's going into a screened-in porch, I just might consider getting rid of the door to the right of the stove and the left of the other sink, because then you could just
Okay.
wrap the cabinets around. You'd only have one door going into the porch, but
Right.
that also makes using the porch a little bit easier, because when you put a doorway someplace, now that whole corner is ruined on the porch. You can't put a couch, you can't have chairs over there. You have an extra doorway that's in the way that also creates all this travel space for people to be, walking back and forth. And when people do use that
Right.
door, they're entering into the kitchen sort of right in the middle of the work area. You can think about that, but if it was me, two doors, I'm just thinking, if that's a nice porch, you could have a couch right in front of that one door. You could have a corner table with a couch and another corner table. It just makes decorating that whole room so much easier if there's not that second doorway there. And then you'll
Gotcha.
get a whole bunch of wraparound countertop between your cooktop area and the other sink. But that's
Right,
not a
right.
big deal to, you can talk to your significant other about it. It's probably what I would do. It's up to you. It's not bad having the doorway there. It's just every time you put a doorway, that creates travel space. So that means people will be using it coming through your kitchen, and it will be messing up the porch area. That whole corner of the porch
The
is then
flow.
dead, right?
Yeah, I got
So,
you.
and then I guess the other thing is the dining space that they're leaving for you is gigantic. So
I know. I'm
there's
gonna have to have
no
like a 10-foot table.
You can have leaves in the table to make it as long as you want, but the width of the
Right.
table, I mean, really, once a table gets any wider than 42 inches, you can have a 4-foot-wide table.
Okay.
That's okay. But once it gets any wider than
Right.
4 feet, well, then people can't even reach the middle of the table. Like, you have to lean all the way
Okay.
over to put something there. So a normal kitchen or
Okay.
dining room table is usually somewhere between 36 inches wide, which is a pretty narrow one, and up to like 40,
Okay.
42 is probably standard large table size. And then
All
48
right.
would be a very deep table. But if you put like even a
Okay.
48 inch table that was 8 feet long, and then you could put leaves sometimes in it, I mean, this is where you're going to be eating on a regular basis. So, like, I have a customer right now that's getting a very big table. And it's
Yeah.
lovely because it's a custom piece of furniture that he's having made, and it's going to be 8 feet
Right.
long. But it's like you're going to feel like you're Henry VIII when you're sitting.
Right.
If you don't have 10 people for dinner, and there's four of you, and you
Right.
want to sit all at four, one person sits at one end and one person sits at the other end, and the two other people sit at the
Right.
side. The two people that are at the ends from each other are 8 feet away from each other, which is a long distance.
Right.
And
Right.
then that's why I just would never do a table any bigger than 8 feet without leaves in it,
Okay.
only because it's just it's gonna
Okay.
be it will be silly. But you have room to make your table gigantic if you want. But the reason I'm bringing
Yeah,
that
I
up is
hear you.
I'm gonna draw your table in as a really big table, and even when I do that,
Okay.
your island can be much bigger because you're not getting close to your table. So we can make your
Okay.
island, and the way to make your island bigger, I don't know, but it looks from the picture. Were they thinking that the island was going to all be one level, or were they thinking it would be two levels?
I was thinking one level.
Yeah, I think you wanted two level islands are sort of out of fashion now. And because
Yeah,
they
I
don't,
don't like,
they,
yeah.
yeah, you want to serve off of it too, right? It's sort of nice to be able to serve off of the back of the island and have
Yeah.
people sit and not be so high up. You can make your island much bigger just by adding like 12-inch cabinets to the back of the island. And you'd have to crawl underneath the countertop to get at the cabinets, but it will look better because you'll have doors on the back of the island that will make the island look
Okay.
nicer. And then you put fake doors on
All
the
right.
side, and then you can overhang the countertop after that.
Okay, all
They
right.
have your countertop overhanging 18 inches. I think that's a little bit of overkill. I mean, generally 12
Okay.
inches is standard. If you wanted to have little hidden brackets that go on top of the cabinets, you can easily go 15 or 18, but 15 inches is more leg room than anybody needs. You'd have to be 7 feet tall to need anything more than 15 inches.
Okay.
And it starts to look a little funny when you have this gigantic overhang.
Right. Okay. So the overhang should only be 12 to 15, but the counter can be deeper and it can have another 12 inch cabinet on the back side.
Yeah. You can even make it, if you wanted to make it even deeper than that, you have so much space. You can make the cabinet on the back not even 12. You could, a slab of stone or quartz is 60 inches deep. So you just have to stay below like 59 inches. So you could have an 18-inch cabinet underneath there if you wanted to. Although 12-inch cabinets are sort of an inexpensive size. So
I like that. I like that.
So then
and easier to use.
Yeah, and easier to get. You know, when you crawl underneath, you only have 12 inches to get in the back of them. So and it's not going to really cost you anything, and it makes the back of the cabinet more attractive. So you're looking at door panels, and then you put the panels on the side. I guess the only other thing you have.
I have a question about that, Paul. Does that still allow me to have the dining room table in front of those windows?
Oh yeah, you've got so much space. That's why I'm going to draw. I'm going to draw a big table in the picture. So that's when we do kitchen designs. That's one of the rules that all the designers have to do when they work for me. Is I want to have the picture.
Okay.
I want the dining room table in the picture, because when you put the dining room table into scale, all of a sudden people realize, oh my God, I don't have room to pull my chair back, right? Or in your case, oh my God, I'm 6 feet away from the edge of my table is 6 feet away from my big island, much less my small island. And you really only need it to be maybe four at least. And you're going to have this gigantic, you have a really big space. So you have more space than you need. And then the other thing too is even with this space, is that sliding doors in the back of the dining room?
No, not behind the dining room. In the great room, where the coffered ceilings are, that's sliding.
Oh,
but
okay.
The dining room is just windows.
Those are just windows. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can still be centered in front of those windows. When you're centered in front of those windows, you will have a really big space to your right, right? But
I know.
But at least there won't be an overly big space to both the right and the left.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, other than that, I like everything else. It says you're having a wall oven to the right of the refrigerator, and that's going to be what?
Yes.
Another, that's going to be wall ovens, and you have a cooktop across from the sink in the
island. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to put a sink in the island, though. I decided not to. I've got a utility sink.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I'd say, everybody doesn't want to have a sink in the island. It's not going to be a sink that you're going to put dishes in, though, right? That's going to be the sink that's going to be over by the other windows. But if it was me,
right,
I'd put a small sink in the island and probably not even center it. I would put it maybe all the way to one side so that I could have a big continuous countertop to work at. But that when I was working at the top, if I wanted to wash a vegetable or something, like I take something out of the refrigerator and I want to wash the vegetables before I cut and chop them, I'm going to cut and chop them maybe on the island, but then I have no water over there. So then I have to walk all the way over to the other kitchen sink, all the way across the room, wash them, and then bring them back to the island to cut and chop them. And your life will be convenient if you had a small sink, not a big sink, a very small sink
like
I had in the picture somewhere in the island, and it works a little bit better if it's not centered, because, you know, you don't have a little bit of countertop or a medium amount of countertop on both sides. You have a little bit of countertop on one side, but then a whole big thing so you could roll pizza out or, you know, whatever you might want to do on the really big countertop. And then the other thing, too, is since we made your island deeper, anybody that's going to be sitting at the back of the island is going to be 3 feet away from that little sink. So it's not like it.
Right. I got you.
And the sink is also undermount. So it's like an undermount, going to be an undermount sink. So and it's a small sink. So you could take a cutting board and cut it to the exact shape, or some sink companies are going to have it. They'll have a cutting board that fits right over the sink, so that if you were using that sink, you could just put a cutting board over it and just make sure that you don't turn the water faucet on when you're, you know, if you're have the sink covered with the cutting board.
I understand. Okay. I got it.
That's just something that you can think about. You don't have to. It depends on how much you cook. Like sometimes if you don't cook at all, then what do you care? Don't ruin your island with a sink. But if you really cook a lot, if you were a chef for a living, You need a sink there because it's going to make your life so much
In the
easier.
island.
You won't be running. Yeah, you won't be running back and forth so much. And it also divides things.
Yeah.
People that are cooking now have the sink that they're using because they don't need to put wash things and anything else, you know, put plates away or put them
Right.
in the dishwasher. And then
Right.
the whole other area, that's just a clean, that whole area is more for cleaning and cleaning up and everything else. So the dishes and everything, they
Gotcha.
go in the sink on the other side. And this sink is only used for when you're cooking. It's a prep sink, right?
Gotcha. Right. I'm with you. I'm following you exactly. And I'm
So,
rethinking it as you're talking. I'm like, I get it.
and I'm going to do a hand drawing for this with the soffits going around the room and making the island a little bit deeper for you. And then maybe also do one
Okay.
version with it coming around so you can sort of see that. So that you turn the corner with an L and then have the island and get rid of that
Paul, I think
doorway.
Paul, it's too late to do that one. I
Get
already,
rid of
the
the
doors and
doorway.
windows are already in. Yeah, it's too late.
Well,
Yeah.
the thing about
Like
the
you
doors
talked
and the
about
windows,
earlier,
you know, the thing about the door and the windows, you're getting rid of something. So you're just not using the door,
no, but
right?
it's already, no, right, but it's already installed. It's already there.
So all they do is they take it out and then they just
Oh,
drywall over it,
okay. Okay.
right? I
Oh,
mean, it would
okay.
be
All right, you're
different if you
right.
were
Yeah,
adding
I'm
a
with you.
door that you didn't have. So it's different if you're
Yeah,
adding a door
okay.
that you don't have. But if you're getting rid of a door,
Okay.
you know, there's four screws holding that door in place. They back those screws
Right,
out, and
I
then they
follow
just
you. Okay.
so you can think about it. I mean, you get them to price it out, but drywalling over everything's drywalled or not yet.
Not yet. No. Just frame. Just
So if
frame.
things are framed and not drywalled, to take that door out and to put the frame in, it will take somebody an hour. So we're really talking about
Okay.
an
All right.
hour of work and under $100 in materials. So, you know, it would be a
Okay.
big deal to move the door and a much bigger
Okay.
deal to make it a different door. And, you know, heaven forbid, now you're going to have an extra door that you paid for that you're not
Yeah,
using.
that's so in the big scheme of things, that's not
Yeah, that's all
that,
right.
yeah.
And then you can give it to a friend or use it,
Right.
you know, or do something else.
Habitat for Humanity.
Right. But you can
Habitat for
think about it. I'll do it in the
Humanity.
picture just so you can think about
All
it
right.
because it will just get you a ton of ca extra countertop and cabinetry. And you'll get
All
like a
right.
lazy Susan in that corner,
Okay.
you know, bigger pots and pans, cabinets, and things like that. But yeah,
Okay.
so you could think about it. That you don't have to do it because you already have the drawing with it there. And if you did
Okay.
want to get eliminated, it doesn't affect anything else other than the
Okay.
cabinetry and countertops that would go there. Those are the things that I would think about doing. I mean, you can see what
Well,
you know, you can
can I
play
ask a
around with it and
quick question?
sure.
Okay, so on the wall that the refrigerator's on, so you got the refrigerator, you got a wall oven. Do you see anything on that wall? Like what I was thinking was counter to the left of the refrigerator, and then the wall oven, what is that, like column, and then the next column would be like a pantry with rollouts. I mean, do you see anything particular on that wall? I was kind of struggling a little bit with that wall.
Well, the one thing is you have this gigantic walk-in pantry and all your food can certainly go in that. So the only
Right.
thing I might entertain is you definitely want the wall oven in the corner by the other door. And the reason you
Okay.
want the wall oven in the
Okay.
corner is it's the opposite of what people might think, but putting like an oven
Okay.
is a place that almost no one ever stands in front of. You know,
Okay.
if you put the oven there and it's Thanksgiving, the day that you're doing the most cooking in the entire year, you'll still open the oven
Right.
door, put your turkey and other things in. Even if you're basting your turkey, that doorway is only going to be blocked with someone standing in front of the oven or the oven door down. And the oven door is never really
Right.
down without somebody paying attention to it. So
Right,
you're only
right.
standing in front of that thing for 5 minutes. So it's actually a good
Okay.
thing to put in the corner. Whereas if you put something else like the pantry in front of the doorway, if you have kids, they'll be standing in front of the pantry figuring out what they want to eat and what they want to get all day long and then rolling out the drawers in the pantry.
Ah,
And the drawers, when
okay.
they're pulled out, will be in front of the doorway, right? So,
Okay.
you know,
I gotcha. Yeah.
all that stuff will be happening in front of the doorway that it is better happening
Okay.
someplace else. So
Okay.
I think the oven in the corner is good. The
Okay.
refrigerator next doesn't look quite as good because you have two appliances
Okay.
next to each other. However,
Right.
the refrigerator in the gap between the island and the cooktop is a really good thing. That way, when people are at the refrigerator, they can step back and they're not stepping back into the island. Although you have a lot of room. So I don't know if that's really such a bad thing. If you wanted to, maybe you could have the oven cabinet, then have a small pantry cabinet, like a 18-inch pantry cabinet, then the refrigerator. Then you could have more pantry cabinets if you wanted to, or you could have bottom and top cabinets. And the reason that you would do that is that would give you maybe like 5 feet of countertop that you could, you know, have a bar refrigerator. It could be like a, you know, it could be like a wine area with glass doors on top or something like that. And a bar refrigerator, you know, in a bar refrigerator, I always tell people, well, that's going to be a lot of money, the bar refrigerator. Now they sell bar refrigerators that are like pretty nice ones with glass doors now that go under countertops for $800. That's what the cabinet might have cost. So if it was a drawer base,
right.
So it's sort of not costing
right.
anything, and you get a nice glass door, bar refrigerator, more countertop. You could even, if you're having a party or something, put the coffee pot over there, put a coffee pot over there, or that's where people get wine and get themselves glasses. And it just sort of has another area that's not a cleaning area, that's more of a display area. But, you know, either that or make it all cold cabinets and pantries. But you have so much pantry storage. Certainly have at least as much pantry storage, maybe even just as much pantry storage, I guess, this way as you had before. And with the door in the hallway, you have, you know, more cabinet storage because now you got cabinets where the doorway was before. You're only really, from the original design, you're really only losing one pantry if you did that. And maybe we give you a narrower pantry between the refrigerator and the oven cabinet, just to not have two appliances next to each other. And then you have maybe a 5 foot countertop for this little bar area. But you can think about that
I
too.
I like it.
But you know, put
I like
it in the drawing and you can mull that over. But yeah.
All right, so last question.
Yeah, sure.
Last question, I promise. On the cooktop, do I need uppers on that wall or with a 42-inch hood on the 36-inch cooktop, or like two sconces enough, or do I need uppers on that wall?
Well, you only have right now in your design, if you get rid of those uppers, you only have two wall cabinets in your whole kitchen, right? So
I know.
That's a little bit of a problem. If I close your doorway, right? If you close your doorway, like I'm talking about, now you'll get more cabinets coming down the wall, and you could maybe make the hood, but then you have to decide where you want to stop them so you can do the other cabinets around the cooktop. But I don't know. I think if it's me, I would. How about instead of the sconces, you could have floating shelves around the
floating
cooktop.
Shelves. Okay.
Then, you know, that way you'd at least be able to put something attractive, like attractive bowls or plates or things like that, just to have a little bit more storage other than the two wall cabinets that you have.
Okay. I like it.
I mean, like you have to really think, I don't know how much you cook, but if you don't even have wall cabinets over there, where are spices going to go? I guess they can go in the drawer.
I was going to go in a drawer. I was definitely going to go in the drawer where they, you know what I'm talking, where they lay kind of, they lay flat in a drawer.
And don't get the old fashioned way was we used to have like wooden, like little angle wooden blocks inside the drawer so the spices would face up towards you. But that's not good because everybody's spices are all different sizes. So now they have a rubber mat that goes in the bottom of your drawer. Maybe I'll write a thing.
All right.
Rubber mat. I'll send you a link.
All right.
But it's just a rubber mat that's sort of scalloped, and then it goes in the bottom of a drawer, and you can line all your spices up, and they face up from the bottom of the drawer instead of being at an angle.
Okay.
And so if you have a taller spice, you can still close your drawer. If you get the things with the little up at an angle, then everybody gets bigger spices, and all of a sudden they have to switch all their spices to McCormick spices in the little tiny, and you know, nobody really does that. They have all kinds of different spices, and you know, you sends your husband to the store to get you some spices, and he comes back with something that's too big and
a different brand. Yeah.
Different brand, and the door that the drawer doesn't close, and now what are you doing with it? And it's just sort of a waste. So the rubber mat on the bottom is just really easy. So and you just cut it with scissors to size, and it looks pretty good too.
Okay.
A picture of it. Okay. Yeah, just without any wall cabinets. There's lots of things. If you don't have wall cabinets, then your plates have to go in the drawers too. And then your
I like that stand. Though.
What?
I like that. I like those plates where they have those little sticks and you make like a plate for the plates all stacked.
So that's all good.
I like that.
Yeah, except for the fact that you're eating up more and more of your base cabinets, and I'm not sure what you've got left. So just think about it for a second. You need drawers for your cutlery. So that's that cabinet there. You got your dishwasher there. You got your double trash can there. So you're really only going to have one cabinet on the sink wall that's facing the back of the house. That's one base cabinet. So that could be used for, say, if you keep the door there, that could be used for plates because it's near the dishwasher. So that you could have one for the plates and stuff there. But then you also have cooking oil and all of that kind of stuff that you're going to need. So that's one of your two wall cabinets is eaten up with all of that kind of stuff that
I gotcha.
You want to keep accessible. And then how about glasses? Glasses don't go very well in drawers. So now you're really
in drawers, you're right.
You only have one cabinet to put glasses in, other than maybe that one pantry cabinet or, you know, the glass door cabinet that's over across the other side. And then you definitely have plenty of space for pots and pans in the island and on the stove side. It's just glassware is really where I think you're sort of stuck. But the glassware goes well on floating shelves. So if you did want to do the floating shelves, I think once you get it the way you think you want it, then sort of write on top of the plan where the stuff is that you're going to be putting away. Sort of look at your look at your house now and look at what the cabinets that you need. I think everybody needs at least a couple of cabinets for glasses. And they need,
You
know, they don't have to have their plates up above. They can have their plates in drawers. Then if you have your plates in the drawers, then that's not pots and pans. If you're keeping the doorway, you won't have like the Lazy Susan cabinet that would have been
right.
a cabinet for pots and pans and or for Tupperware kind of things. You're going to have, like in this design here, we got one cabinet that can be plates on the big sink wall. And then you got two cabinets on either side. You got the cooktop, and then that can have drawers underneath. It can be pots and pans. And then you have two cabinets on the side and then two cabinets in the island. So you have four cabinets for plates, bowls, Tupperware, maybe big spoons, big ladles and spoons. And it's getting a little bit tight. So if you close off the doorway, I don't think you have any problem with any of this because you could come down to the end of the doorway and you got essentially two more really big cabinets. But you have, you know, you can figure out if you're going to do that. But you know, if you hand write in all of this stuff, like you're in your house now, right? So it's you can sort of figure out how many cabinets do I have now and where my stuff going,
right?
And where are they transferring to this kitchen?
Right.
And then you know what? If you have such a big pantry area, if some of this stuff you just put the stuff that you use all the time in the main kitchen, and then you have on the shelves in the other pantry bowls and other things and glasses and fancy glasses or something. Anything.
Small appliances I was going to put in there. The small appliances I was going to put in the pantry that you don't need all the time. Like the Instapot and the crock pot, those things.
And then, but I don't know if you drink coffee. So then if you do the countertop over by the refrigerator, then that would give you an area for the coffee pot. Or if you ever turn the corner and got rid of that doorway, that whole corner then would be a good place for any appliances that you used a lot. Like if you used a toaster oven a lot, or you used a coffee a lot, or you used, I don't know what else you might use, but anything else?
No, but thank you. That was, you mentioned, if I can find a cream and I can just go back to your rating sheet, but
Mm-hmm.
you, I think I read online that you guys carry 8 lines, but if I
Yeah.
can, you were saying today earlier that if I can get away from the custom color, I might have an opportunity to not have to go custom cabinet.
Yeah, so let's say you did the tray ceiling, and then you could do 36-inch wall cabinets with 12-inch cabinets on top of them, with then a 6-inch stacked crown molding. That would get you up to 8 feet. And that's sort of a common combination that we do a lot. And if you did that
Okay.
in an inexpensive cabinet brand, like we carry Fabuwood, which is a very reasonable cabinet brand, your whole kitchen with cabinets and everything else, going all the way up to the ceiling with the moldings and everything included. Well, it depends on if you do the floating shelves. And if you do the floating shelves, do you get them from the cabinet company, or does the contractor do the floating shelves? Say you did the floating
I
shelves
can
from the cabinet company, just because that it's more expensive that way to give you a higher number. Then I think
Right, okay.
your cabinetry would maybe be $25,000, which we said before.
Wow.
Or for inexpensive
Wow.
cabinetry. And maybe, if you got rid of the floating shelves, maybe you get down to 20, or but you have stacked cabinets. And then if you go custom, this is well over $40,000 in cabinetry by the time everything is said
Okay.
and done in custom cabinetry. Because
Okay.
even those little cabinets that are on top, we haven't talked about it,
Right.
but a lot of times people would do those little cabinets on top in glass, or some of them in glass.
Right.
And then that gets more
Right.
expensive. And then you also have to have lighting, that the contractor has to run the lighting for the inside of those cabinets. But because you have double the number of wall cabinets, you have the bottom cabinets and then a second layer of cabinets that's reaching the ceiling, that adds a lot of cabinetry. So that's what gets you over
Okay.
$20,000, even in an inexpensive cabinet brand. And then it definitely probably
Okay.
means that you're in a custom cabinet brand in a custom color, which is extra.
Right.
You're over 40. So you're definitely over 20 for an inexpensive line, and over 40 in an expensive line, I would think, in a custom color, if you're doing a custom color.
Okay. Okay.
So then, that just gives you those kind of numbers. And then when you go out looking for kitchen places, if you get numbers that are not like those numbers, then you know that either they're more expensive kitchen place, or they're pricing it out in more expensive cabinet brands. And you can look at that rating thing that we have, where we rate the brands.
Right.
Like Fabuwood is a two. So if you look up a brand
Okay.
and somebody gives you pricing for a three, then we would have think that if Fabuwood was 20 or 20 something, then the three is going to be 28, and the four is going to be 31, and then the five is going to be probably, that's going to be the lower level custom brands, and that's what's going to get you up to the 40.
Okay. Okay.
And
All right, I'm
but when
following.
you once somebody puts it all on their computer, they'll be able to give you an
Yeah.
exact number for whatever the kitchen plan is that they've got. And
Okay.
would be a lot less expensive with no cabinets and just a hood over the cooktop. What kind of hood were you thinking of, though? Would it
I
be a
was
wooden hood,
thinking
or?
of, yeah, I was this that place, I'm sure you know about the Hoodly, like to get a frame and then maybe to get I know like a plaster guy. I've been reading online about these plaster hoods where you just have to have the wood frame and then they plaster it and so it gives it some texture, kind of a minimalist look. I thought that looked kind of cool and different and not super expensive.
And then, that hood's got to be vented outside, so it's going to go, the vent will go up into the ceiling, and then we'll go out the back of the house, I guess.
Yeah. I think they've already done that.
Well, one thing is if you actually did do the coffered ceiling, the tray ceiling, now you got no problem, right? You've already got, you have an
Oh.
extra way to run ductwork all around. And once you actually do that in your kitchen too, if there's anything that anybody wants to run around the room to get anywhere else on the second floor or anything, you got a conduit to run anything else you want anywhere around.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yes, that if when you draw that in, that would be helpful. That would be
Yeah, I'll draw
helpful.
it
And I
in
can
a
take
dotted
that to my
line, and you can take
builder.
a look at it.
Okay. Okay. Very cool. Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate
and
it.
And I'll send you some hand drawings. We have a couple of people calling in, so you might get it. You'll get it today, probably
fine.
Sometime around 4 or 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Thank you
sure.
for
and
your
time. And then if you
time,
get
when
you get this
it.
Stuff, if they put it on the computer at the kitchen place, and you get plans or drawings and you want to show them to us again, and when you call in again, then we can critique the design that they did and just say, oh, you know what, you could have done there, or you could have done this or this a little bit differently or something else. And then you'll have figured out if you're going to leave that door or keep that door. And then there'll be other things to talk about. But if you want to call in, feel free.
Okay. I'd love to. Thank you, Paul.
All right, Alan, good talking to you. Right. And best of luck with your new house. I'm sure it's very exciting.
It is. Thank you, Paul. All right, have a great day.
Stressful. Bye. Exciting, but stressful, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah, very stressful. Very stressful. Okay.
So,
bye.
Okay, take care. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Mainline Kitchen Design Podcast with nationally acclaimed kitchen designer Paul McAlary. This podcast was brought to you by Brighton Cabinetry, high-quality custom cabinetry at competitive prices. For more on kitchen cabinets and kitchen design, go to www.mainlinekitchendesign.com.